Each and every day,
you
fill my heart with joy. Thank you. few weeks ago, if you remember, we had Alice Robbins here celebrating her 100th birthday. And among other things that she mentioned, she said that this world is much worse than it used to be 100 years ago. She couldn't exactly nail the reasons why she feels that way, but she was pretty confident that it is getting worse. And that is true. And it should be our concern. Because among other things that it affects in our lives, our relationships are being affected by the changes in this world. And we'd like to spend some time to figure out some of the reasons that we can learn from the scripture and our relationship with God that would help us to maintain or make our relationships even stronger. I talked to my siblings a few weeks ago, and I told them, we talked about life and the changes in our personal lives, and I told them, you know, we need to take care of ourselves. Take care of yourself and then things in your life, because you're not getting any younger, and the things are not going to get any better. As my daughter said when she turned 21, I'm so old and it's all down the hill from here. My mom overheard our conversation with my siblings, and she didn't say anything at that time, but a few weeks later, she ended up in the hospital, and I went to see her, and I tried to encourage her. And I said, you know, I hope you'll get better, and I know you will get better. And she said, I remember what you said. You said it's not going to get any better. And I felt so bad. I was there to encourage her. And here, she remembered something that I said. But John 16:33 says, Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. And it's a promise, quite a promise. You know, the promises are not supposed to discourage us. The promises of the Bible are supposed to encourage us and give us hope and build up our faith. But this is the promise, that in this world you will have trouble. It doesn't sound like a good encouragement, the good news. It implies tribulations and distress and frustration. In this world, we go through things that can affect our relationships in a negative way. But this is just a part of the verse. And we need to embrace the whole message of this passage. And this is what Jesus says. If you continue, it says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He restrained the power of this world to harm us. And he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. No matter how good is your life right now, God has something better for you prepared in the future. No matter how bad the things are going in your life right now, God has something better prepared for you in your future. And he wants us to have peace, even in the midst of tribulations and our distress, based on the confidence in him. In this life, things don't always turn the way they seem or first appear. How many of you worried about something that never happened? Right. And even though it never happened, it still did happen in your life. Because physiologically, emotionally, you know, with your body, you went through all those things that you anticipated, right? The bad thing is that by worrying ahead of time, if it happens, then you have to go through that twice. And you have to suffer twice. So quit worrying ahead of time about things. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That doesn't mean that we should neglect our planning. As my mother said, and mothers are always right, you be ready today, but plan ahead for 100 years. Life is a gift, and it's meant to be enjoyed and shared with one another. We all like getting gifts or giving gifts and sharing gifts. And just like we pick up a special gift for a special person, God picked up a gift especially for you and me. That's why we are different. We are not alike, but we are unique in that sense. And we have to, or we got to be the person God created us to be. Figure out His purpose for our lives. Figure out the reasons why we're here and get the most out of it today. Although we have different unique personalities, we need to find the common ground where we can build our relationships on. We handle gifts differently, right? How many of you just tear the paper when you open your gifts? How many are doing it carefully, like I do, saving the paper to use next time for something else? It doesn't really matter how we open it, but we meant to live abundant life to the full potential, and we need to unwrap this gift of life that God given us to us. Jesus says in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We might not always like our gifts, but there's always something to be thankful for. And we need to learn to be thankful for the gift of life. Do you believe that the Bible is the God-inspired book? Do you believe that everything there is for our benefit? Then we should trust it. How many of you think that if you would be the one to write the Bible, you would have a few things different there? You don't have to admit it. But I'm pretty sure that if we wrote the Bible, we'd probably have changed a lot of things. Maybe instead of 10 commands, there would be only 10, 8, or 9, or 7. And tithe would definitely be lower than 10%. Probably like 2 or maybe flexible rate. Or maybe we'd add one more commandment, the 11th. Thou shalt not be caught or get caught. In John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Would you like to have more love in your relationships? Would you like to have more joy in your families? Would you like to have more peace in mind in your life? Would you like to see the Kuiper Church family growing? Would you like to have more money than you have nowadays? How many of you would like to have more money than you have? That looks quite selfish, though. But Ephesians 3:20, it says He's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. And that's okay that you raised your hand, because the desire for more is not an evil desire or a selfish desire. It's not a wrong desire. God created us that way. God intended that to be that way, because we need to settle for more and ask for more peace, more love, more joy, and even for more money. Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of evil. In fact, someone says that money is the root of good vocations. Some people believe, unfortunately, that poor people will go to heaven and the rich will go to hell, and they try to stay broke as much as they can. You probably heard the expression that money is not a key to happiness, But if you have enough money, you can make you can get that key made for you. Well, money is not even supposed to be an issue for happiness, because it says, the Bible says, that in God's presence there is fullness of joy. Money is just a tool. And it depends how we use it. It can be for good or for evil. God blesses us so that we can be more blessing to others. And as we unwrap the gift of life that God gave us, sharing through our relationships, how do we maintain our relationships that they would last longer and become stronger? First of all, we need to increase our knowledge. To know more about ourselves, to know more about each other, and to know more about God. The Bible tells us that we need to get wisdom and try to learn something new every day. I know education is very expensive, but as Benjamin Franklin said, if you think education is expensive, try ignorance. Proverbs 3:13-15 says, "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her." Have you ever made a mistake? Have you ever learned from it? There is one way to get wisdom, and that's learning from our mistakes. But that's the most hardest way and the slowest way to get wisdom. If I want tomorrow to be different than I am today, then I need to learn something today in order to make tomorrow different. But if I go into tomorrow with the same knowledge that I had today, I don't actually have it tomorrow. It's just an extended today. There is wisdom in God's word for every area of our lives. There is wisdom for your health. There is wisdom for your finances. There is wisdom for maintaining our relationships. How many young single, well, not exactly young, but singles we have here today? I'm not single. Okay, so we have few that admit it. And the rest of you, okay. You know, I noticed that online dating is getting or becoming quite popular nowadays. And there are Christian online dating sites and agencies that at least claim that they can help you and connect you with someone out there that you're looking for. But in the church setting, how do you deal with that issue? I heard a couple of hints that I can give you, share with you singles today, to look Christian and sound Christian, and at the same time accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. It was something like, you know, I was reading a book of Numbers the other day, and I just realized that I need yours. It took you a while to get it. Or something like, hey girl, I think you got one of my ribs. But if you're single, don't rush into things. Take time. Give it some time and to go through important things in your intentions, that you would have the relationship that would stay there, would last longer and be strong and be right. So one way to get wisdom, we figured out, is to learn from our mistakes, although it is the slowest and hardest way. Another way is to learn from mentors. Learn from others. How many of you do you think that would benefit from your friend's mistakes rather than from your own? I think there is a benefit there. It's kind of a quick transfer of information. That's why God puts counselors and pastors and mentors and trainers in our lives, so we could learn from those people and not make the same mistakes they made. Someone have already been there, done that, got burned, got hurt, lost their investment, and now we can learn from their mistakes so that we would not get ourselves in a lot of trouble. The third way to increase our knowledge, we can practically buy wisdom. You can go to Barnes & Noble, or ABC, or any other stores, and buy wisdom. I mean books. You know, it took a few years for someone to go through their experience and write it down. And now in a few hours, you can learn from it. And you can adopt it as your own or apply to your own setting. There is an immeasurable amount of wisdom in the 66 books of the Bible that we can learn from. Proverbs 4, 7, and 8 says, "Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you." Some other translations say, "Prize wisdom highly. Wisdom will promote you." How many would like to get a promotion nowadays in your job? Or if you run your own business, you would like to get more clients and more customers. Wouldn't it be nice? I heard a story about two fresh out of college students who were looking for a job, and they applied to at a certain company, and they had to do the test. And when they did the test, next day they were called back, and the recruiter told them that they actually did really well on their test. And he said, "You know, John and Robert, both of you did well, and you scored the same number. But unfortunately, we can't get both of you, but we can offer a job for one of you. So John, you'll get the job." And Robert was kind of getting upset. "You said that we did well, both of us scored the same number. How you choose which one you get? Why he got the job and not me?" And the recruiter says, "Well, it actually boils down to the question number 46. "Well, what was the question 46? It's not actually the question, it's the answer. The way you answered that determined for us to give you the job and make our decision." "So what was the answer?" "Well, John, you got the job because you answered, 'I don't know.' Robert, you said, 'Me either.'" A little bit of wisdom can change a whole lot in your life. Prize wisdom highly. Improving our speech can help us in maintaining our relationships. We need to be very careful what we say, how we say, and where and when we say it. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, the Bible tells us. And Proverbs 17:20 says that very often it gets us in trouble, and we know that. We often say things that within our relationships that we regret about later. Words have power for good and for bad. How many of you have said something that hurt someone else? Thank you for admitting it. How many of you had something said to you that hurt you? I know we all go through that kind of experience. And sometimes our reaction is based on the way other people see us. In reality, that's not the ultimate measure, how you judge yourself. So quit worried about how other people see you or what they say about you. How we see ourselves may be important, but we go through tough things in life, and we get hurt. And sometimes something said or done to us can affect our self-esteem. So that's not also the best way to see yourself or react. We need to invest in ourselves and get more knowledge and experience and skills to deal with issues in our lives. The difference between where we are and where we want to be is in what we know. And when we know where we're going, then we'll figure out how we're going to go to get there. And that's where wisdom comes in. But the most important way to deal with our issues is the way God sees us. And we, it says that we are God's children, created in His image. And when we see ourselves that way, then we'll be able to see others as God's children too and treat them the same way God treats us. Improving our thinking will help maintain our relationships. According to Ross Perot, it just takes one good idea to live like a king for the rest of your life. Thinking creates scientific discoveries, medical treatments or cures. Business deals are made a lot based on our decisions and thinking. In Psalms 1:2, it says, "The man who meditates or thinks on the law of God shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, shall blossom and prosper and mature in everything he does." Whatever we are thinking on the inside eventually will come up on the outside. So let's get our thinking to a different, higher level. In order to maintain our relationships, we need to do more than we ever done before. James says, faith without deeds is dead. We're doing a lot, I know. Some people hardly do anything, but much more can be accomplished if each one of us does their own part. We got to put some actions behind our intentions. We need to bring our faith to a higher level to maintain our relationships. It requires faith to see beyond the obstacles that are in our way. When I was a young youth leader, I remember in our church we had a Bible study and discussion based on Jesus' statement that if you have faith of the size of a mustard seed, you can move the mountains. And there was one lady that said, "You know, I always was bothered by that issue. Her apartment was facing the hill, right behind her window, and she never got a sunshine into her apartment because of that hill. So she decided to go home and pray that God will move that hill away." And then we asked her, "So what happened?" And she said that she prayed earnestly and hard and with sincere heart for God to move that mountain from her apartment so she could have sunshine. And then in the morning, she got up, pulled the curtain, looked through the window and said, "I thought so." That's not the type of faith God expects from us that can move the mountains. We need to have sincere and strong faith in God when we ask Him to do something. And trust Him that He knows better when to do it and how to do it. We should have high expectations from our relationships. Very often we settle for mediocre things, for less than God really intended for us. And He has so much more to offer us. If we recognize little things in our lives, then we'll be able to build up and recognize greater things and increase bigger things in our lives. But we need to recognize God's hand in everything that is around us and what we have. Our decisions are the ones that got us where we are today, from yesterday. And our decisions today will get us to where we are going tomorrow. giving attitude improves our relationships tremendously. God is a giver. You know well that verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Not that he had four of them and one day he decided, oh, this one has to go. It says that he gave his best. He was willing to give his best. He gave his one and only son. Why should we not be willing to give him our best? We are created in his image, and therefore it is our nature, giving. Some people treat God as godfather of a mafia or something like that, and then they look at tithe as a protection money. If you give him, you pay him money, then he would not break your leg or would not have your house burned down or something like that. That's so wrong. God doesn't need our money. He's got everything. He owns everything. And it is amazing how every day we get up and we trust our lives into his hands, knowing that we depend on him. But at the same time, when it comes to money issue or our possessions, we have a lack of trust. We often treat tithe as some kind of money test that God imposes on us. But if you pay attention, it is actually the other way around. He says in Malachi, trust me. You trust me, he says. If I will not open the gates of heaven to pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. So here's a hint for you. Before you start testing him, you better pray first for extra room. It is the most important test that in any relationship, in any friendship, it has to be passed. It is a test of trust. Imagine a spoiled child. You dress them up. You drive them to McDonald's. You buy them a meal. And when you ask for couple of French fries, they say, no, mine. How does that make you feel? You paid for the meal. You brought them there. You provided everything. And they say, no, it's mine. Everything we have comes from God. And he says, if you need anything, ask and you shall receive. Careful now with your requests. But bringing a little back should not be a hard thing to do. When we give something to him, it's like saying, God, I trust you. You gave the best you had for me. Here's my best for you. And when we build our relationships with God based on trust and our confidence in him, we'll learn a lot. And it will teach us a lot how we can give our best in our relationships with one another. Heavenly Father, we thank you for creating us in your image. You already put all the good things in our hearts, in our minds, to build our character, to be like you. And Lord, we thank you for reminding us for the importance of building up our relationships with one another, based on our relationship with you. And we thank you for giving us all your best. Help us to be inspired to give our best to you and to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.